Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachat Arachin Daf Vav Amud Bet. This will be our final podcast in the first chapter of Arachin. Hagoseis Vayotzei La'areg. This is the third Mishnah, the first Perek. Somebody is a goseis, which means they're about to die or they're being taken out to be executed. Lo nidar v'lo nerach. They have no value, not in damim and not in Arachin. They do have a value in Arachin. Why? That has a set value. He's a male, he's between 20 and 60, it's 50 shkalim. The fact that he's going to be dead in 5 minutes doesn't make a difference. Which nobody seems to disagree with. He can commit to all these things. And if he did damage, he's chayav. We'll see what that's about. Okay. We understand why a goseis, lo nidar, the lab bar domino has no value. V'lo ne'arach, the lab bar marabarachu, because we said earlier, somebody in order to be ne'arach has to be able to be stood up in front of the kohen to be assessed. Even though the simple read of that pasuk is about the noder, the ma'arich, nonetheless we read it as being about the target. So a goseis can't be brought up, he's going to be dead. The question is somebody who's about to be executed. I get that lab bar domino. He has no value because what would anybody pay for him on a slave market? He's about to be killed. We're basically asking the question of why of Chanin ben Akavya. He should be nerach. The time so what's the answer? Talmud Omar kol cherem lo yipadeh. In the same chapter in Vayikra it says kol cherem min ha'adam. That's the missing words. Any cherem. Cherem here means one that's slated for destruction. Take a look in Perek Vav and Perek Zion of, Perek Zion really of Sefer Yoshua. Multiple uses of the word cherem. Cannot be redeemed. And that in that case means there's no erech. Yachol afil komishim mardino. I might think this even applies before there was a formal gezar din on him to die, even though they'd already concluded the proceedings. And with Amar min ha'adam. Kocher min adam lo yipadeh, meaning some people. Well, not kol adam. It doesn't apply to all people. Chanim ha'rakavi namar nerach v'nesh adamav k'tsuvin. In our Mishnah, he says, Hai kocher mayavidlei. So what's he going to do with the pasuk that we use to prove the Tanakama's position? The Chatan ha'rishmom roshom v'yuchem v'rukom. Me'al l'fish ha'atzin l'mumatim b'dei shamayim sh'non'im mamon mitkaper lahem. We see that somebody who has mitah b'dei shamayim can pay mamon and they get kapara. Where's the famous case of that? That's in the case of the two people fighting and one crashed into a woman and there is a tragedy with her the miscarriage. Kofer yushatalav. He has kofer, which is like a kapara to pay for. He really should be dying. Yeah, so yachol af bidei adam ken. I might think that this even applies to somebody who's going to be killed by the Beit Din. They could pay their way out. Now, of course, that's besides a murderer who explicitly is excluded from that at the end of Bamidbar. Tamloma kocherem lo yipadeh. That was what kocherem lo yipadeh means. Anybody who's about to be killed can't buy his way out, can't ransom himself. Ainli alamitot chamuroch, don't eat nashingatam lachaparam. I only know that that's true about the very serious mitot that are so serious, sounds maybe counterintuitive, that when you do them, b'shogeg, there is no korban to bring. It's as if to say there's no way to redeem yourself, like megadef. Mitot kosh, and mishigatam l'chaparam minayin, how do I know you can't even pay your way out for mitot that are so light, as it were, relatively, that if you did a b'shogeg, there's a kapara, like chilul shabbat, or you bring a chatat, tamaloma kol cherem. There it says kol cherem. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Meir Odeh Marich. The question is, what's Rabbi Yosef referring to? Tanakama mikam arlo. Tanakama didn't say that a goseis is not Marich. Rabbi Marich makdish kolam elo pligi. As I said in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that a goseis, yotzei la'areg, can make whatever commitments they make, and, you know, the commitment is valid. Ki pligi, what is the machloket? But im hizik, it's the last line of Rabbi Yosef, which he is mazik. Tanakama savrei mizik eno chayav b'tashlumin. Tanakama says that if the goseis yotzei la'areg does nezek, he doesn't have to pay, which means his heirs don't have to pay. Rabbi Yosi savrei mizik chayav b'tashlumin. Rabbi Yosi says that he is. So now let's see where their disagreement is. So in other words, the last line of the Mishnah is only there about the imizik. The rest everybody agrees about. Now, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Milva al peg over na yoshin kami palgi." Whether an oral debt can be collected from heirs. In other words, the assumption here is that nezikin is an oral debt because the Torah says you have to pay. Tanakama sav milva al peg over na yoshin. If Rav Yosef says, "Milva al peg over na yoshin," you can collect from the heirs. Now, this may say Rabba. It may even say Ibaitema. There's different versions in the manuscripts. Rava, which is the version that we have, is very difficult to accept. For a reason I'll explain in a little bit. The Chuli Alma Milval Peh Eino Gov Neyoshin. Everybody agrees that a Milval Peh is not collected from heirs. The reason that's difficult is because Rava's prize student, Rav Papa, is famous for being the author of the statement that a Milval Peh is collected from Yoshin, but not from Lekuchot. So very difficult to say that he would say that if his teacher held as a matter of principle that nobody thinks that Milval Peh is collected from Yoshin. And so therefore, the version that says Rabba, who of course is the Bar Plugta of Rav Yosef, is reasonable. The version that says Ibayit Ema in one of the Girsot seems to be even more reasonable, another option of way of looking at it. In any case, the disagreement is whether or not a commitment in the Torah is considered shtar or alpet. Tanakama says the fact the Torah says Yechayiv still leaves it milva alpet, and therefore you can't collect from the heirs. If it's in the Torah, it's like a shtar, therefore you can collect from the Yorshim. Now, some people read that entire discussion as a comment on this. If a guy is about to be executed, if he damages somebody on the way, he's chayav. If other people damage him, they're patur, because he's a dead man walking. That there's Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, even if he damages others, he's patur, because he can't be brought to stand in Beit Din because of the issue of Inui Adin, which we'll see more of in the next Mishnah. You can't delay somebody's execution. Now, Michal, did Tanakama say that in Tanakh Hazar Amamit Dat Beit Din? Do you think Tanakama thinks you can bring him back to Beit Din? That's not possible. Rabbi Yosef, Milva Pegu Ne Yorshin Kami Palgi, same thing. Tanakama say Milva Pegu Ne Yorshin, Shimon Elazar Savar, Eno Gu Ne Yorshin. And now in our version, Rabba Amar, which seems to fit better, Chliyama Milva Peh Eno Gu Ne Yorshin, Hakam Avad Ketuv Mitoa, Ketuv Vishtar Damya, Ketuv Vishtar Damya, Shimon Elazar Savar, Ketuv Vishtar Damya. It's the same take as we had before. Okay, Meitabe, watch this challenge about the issue of collecting from Yorshim. Hachofer bor b'shut rabim. A guy digs a pit in b'shut rabim, which is never a good idea. And I follow live shore, and an ox fell in and killed the digger. Patur. V'harago patur. The owner of the ox is patur for the death of this guy, because he put himself in harm's way. V'lon elashi meita shore, none of that, but if the ox also died, Yorshe ba'ala bor, chevin the shalem, and t'mei shore la ba'ala, the heirs of the digger have to pay for the loss of the ox. It's nizke bor. V'ilah amarav. So, Kshamad Badin. So, what's the proof for that? That proves that Nezikin can be collected from heirs. Alright? So now, that means that, of course, Tanakama's position is very difficult in our Mishnah, according to the way we explained it. This is a case where the fellow who dug the pit already was brought to Din and was made obligated, and then since the Beit Din writes it down, it becomes a Milva Bishtar, and then we can collect from them. Vaharagoktani, but in the text it said that the ox killed the guy. So, Adabarav Akshasa O Trefa. It didn't kill him, it made him a Trefa. He was able to get his way to Beit Din, and then he dropped dead. V'yom Nachman Tani Chaga Metu Kvaro. But he said in Chaga was one of his Tanoim in his Beit Midrash, and the way he read it was Metu Kvaro, which means the ox was buried on the spot. So, you can't bring any Beit Din. V'yokhata Diyatvi Dayani Apume Debira. So, the case was where the Dayanim were sitting right there at the pit. And in that spot, they judged everything, and then it was buried. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, it says, Hareg mazin alav meidam chatato meidam ashamof. The guy's about to be killed, but he has a korban chatat or asham that's waiting in the mikdash. We could still do zrikat adam for him and bring him that kapar before he dies. But chatah be'otah sha'ah ein nizkakin lo. But if he sinned at that point, then we don't wait and bring a korban, you know, which would take a day or two. There's no inu adin, we kill him right away. My time of Yosef, Nisha in Manit, you know, you don't delay the din. So then even in the first case, when you have the Korban there, you're not going to delay the din. let the korban die. It must be a case where his korban is already shechted and ready to go. So what if it wasn't shechted, what would you do? Lo, you wouldn't shecht it. So if that's the case, so when the Braita said that if he sinned at that moment, we don't bring a korban, we don't go get a korban, then why don't you just add the following? The only time we do bring the korban is if it's already slaughtered. But if it's not slaughtered, then lo. So Hachanami Kamadu, right? That's exactly what they said. If the korban is already slaughtered, if it wasn't slaughtered, then it's as if he sinned at that moment, which means the only case where we're going to do it is where he was, the korban was slaughtered and was about to go, and he said he's about to kill him, so wait a second, do zvikat adam, and then execute him. Okay, Aisha Shiatz Ale Hareg, the last mission in the first parak, if a woman is about to be executed, and she is very pregnant, Ein Mamtinin La Ajte Leid, we don't wait and let her give birth, we kill her as is. Aisha Shiatzvala Mashper, if a woman goes into labor and she's on the birth stool, as it were, Mamtinin La Ajte Leid, then we wait, we'll see what the difference is. Haisha Shiner Ga, very difficult piece, Nanin Bisara, you're allowed to get Hanoa from her hair. We'll have to see how that plays out if a woman is executed. Pemashinaga, on the other hand, an animal that's killed, it's called Shorniskal, classic case. Asurabanai, not allowed to get Hanoa from it. So we'll have to see why that is. The Pemashinaga is easy. The Ishashinaga is difficult. All right, let's start with the first case. Pshita. It's obvious that we don't wait to kill her because, after all, Gufahi, the baby is part of her body, so she has to be killed. The answer is dark. In the case of the abortion that happened when the two people bumped into each, one people fighting and one bumped into the woman and caused her to miscarry, the husband is part of the assessment. So Mamona Balhu, I would think that the Baal has an interest in this baby. Maybe we have to wait until the baby is born before we kill her. Kamash Balanda, we don't. Why don't we say that indeed? With an adulterer and an adulteress, it says, Umeitu gam shnehem. They shall both indeed die. The gam is extra. It's there to say that even if she's pregnant. But we need Umeitu gam shnehem to say they both have to be of age of consent to be chayiv mitah, meaning if she is below the age of consent or in some other way non-compos mentis, then he's also not chayiv mitah, the Rabbi Yoshia. The answer is kikamart migam. We're saying it from the word gam, which is the extra piece here. The word shnehem is what teaches they have to be equal. Okay, yashvala mashper. But if she already went into labor, then we wait. My time out, so came into akar, gufach rinu. The minute that the baby is dislodged and goes into the birth canal, it's a separate body. Can't kill that body because she's dying. Gotta wait. Avinu Ashwal, Aisha Yotzei Le'areg. If a woman goes out to be killed, makino takenei beit harayon. If she's pregnant, we induce an abortion. Kedeshamuta vlad chila. So the baby should die first. Because what would happen from the way that they understood physiology, if she was killed, then there would be, well, after she died, there would be some sort of spontaneous abortion, and it would be all gross and disgusting, and it would be nivul, because as we saw in Sanhedrin, even people who are executed have the bror lo mitayafa principle, and we want to make sure that they are treated with respect. Now, lamei b'dikad no meita b'reisha, so you're telling me that if a woman dies and she's pregnant, she dies first? We have a Mishnah that tells us the opposite. And that's a Mishnah Nida. That a woman dies, the baby dies first. Ditnan, Tinok Penyomo, a baby who's a day old, no cheloman chil, could inherit and bequeath. What does that mean? He could inherit his mother's estate, if he's the only child of that mother, or one of them. And then, meaning that she dies, he's one day old, then he dies, and then it goes to his paternal brothers, which is just a way of an estate shifting through. But that's the case. Dafka ben yom echad. But notice they picked the tinok ben yom echad of alu balo, not a newborn, meaning on that when he's born. Why? To my peresha, because if she died, he would have died first, so it never would have been there to bequeath. Because a child does not inherit posthumously to then pass it on to his paternal brothers. He doesn't inherit from his mother to his passed on to his paternal brothers if he died already. So therefore you see that in such a case, the baby dies first. So you had to have him already come out and be alive, and then the mother to die for this scenario to play out. The answer is, you're right. Hanimila the Gabimita. That's true when there's a natural death. Since a baby is small and has very little life force, literally the angel of death's drop comes and kills him quickly. What it means, though, is that he's going to die first because he's weaker. But when there's a deliberate execution that happens, he made the ratio. She dies first. But we had a case where a woman died and then the ubar did some spazzing. Okay, that's just like the reptile's tail that spasms. Doesn't prove anything. Let's say a woman went into birth and she died on Shabbat. We bring a knife and we cut open her stomach. What's in the blood? We do a C-section. So Pshita, my Avid, what's the chiddush? There's no chiddush Shabbos here. What are you talking about? The answer is mechatech basaru. So I'm a rabbi. Lo nitzuch al visakin derech reshut ha'abim, to tell you that you can carry the knife through reshut ha'abim to do this. My kamashpon. So what's that teaching? Sveik mechalin shabta, that you are mechalal Shabbat because of the possibility of saving a life. Tanina, there's a mishnah yoma mishrafa la mapolat. If somebody was buried alive, sveik rosham, sveik rosham, he may or may not even be there. Sveik chaisak veit, he may be alive, but he may be dead already. Sveik Kanani, Sveik Yisrael, it may be a Kanani or maybe a Yisrael. We still do everything necessary to try to rescue him, even on Shabbat, which means Misafek Machalin Shabbat for Safek Bikoch Nefesh. The answer is Maurite Mahatamurabele Chazaka de Chayuta. That's in the case of a guy who we knew was alive and may be alive still. Hachravele Chazaka de Chayuta, here this kid was never alive, he was never born. Meikara, Emalo, maybe we're not Machal Shabbat unless we know that he's alive. Kamash Balan, that even in such a case, Misafek Machalin et HaShabbat. Okay, the end of the Mishnah was this bizarre statement about Haishash in Nehargan, Nehanin Besara. Yamai. Yisra'an Aninu, because, forget about back executed, a person who dies, their body is Yisra'an Amarab Omer Tusari Leviti. So Rav says the case where she said, I'm bequeathing my hair to my daughter. So, what if she said, I'll give my hand to my daughter? Would they do it? And the hair is no different. So, Rav says, what we're talking about here really is a wig, not her hair. Okay, Tana Dam Ratnu. This is Rav's Derech. We're going to see another Derech in a minute. Rav's Derech, in understanding this, is it's a wig. But even in that case, Rav said, she had to have said, I'm giving it to my daughter. Ha lo Am Ratnu Gufa Umitsa. It's her body and it's us, sir. By the way, Rabbi Yosef Chanin asked the question. Rabbi Yosef Chanin, Sa'ar Nashim Tzid Kaniot Mahu. Background, this is Sugi in the last paragraph of Sanhedrin. If you have Irani Dachat means all the property in the city is going to be destroyed and all the guilty people will be destroyed. What if you have the hair of women who are righteous in the city, meaning women are not going to be killed because they didn't do Avodah Zarah? What happens? Right, V'yamar Ravin, Rava says, what was he asking about? But Pe'an Nachrut Kare Baile, he was asking about a wig. Which means that he wasn't sure if a wig is considered her hair or not. And is it her hair, and therefore it's saved, or it's her property, and it's destroyed? The answer is, Kivayla Rabbi Yosef Chanina. His question was the Talib Sikhta. That's if it's connected with a pin. Hacha the Bechavarbah. Here we're talking about where it's really firmly connected on her head, and therefore, Tamad Amratu, if she said I'm bequeathing it, then it goes to her daughter. Halo Amratu, if not, then Gufo Mitzah, then it's part of her body, and it's Aser. Okay. Kashav Nachma Yitzchak. Nachma Yitzchak was not happy with this. He said, about doing the behemah tani. Remember, in the Mishnah, it's presented as a parallel to behemah. Ha'isha shenerga sara muteret. Anima sara. Behemah asura. So now, matav gufe afachanami gufe. In the case of the animal, we're talking about the animal's own hair. Animals don't wear wigs. Amram Nachma Yitzchak. That's proper girsa. Zumitata usarta vizugmar dina usarta. When it comes to the Isur Hanah, when the woman is killed, that's what makes her usur. And when the woman is killed, you can't kill hair. You can kill a body, you can't kill hair. So the hair is just not part of it. With the animal, it's the Gemar Din that makes it usur. We've seen many sugyot about Shohaniskal And if you go out and grab it before it's killed, it's also about not. And as a result of that, the animal, every part of the animal is asur. And that's the difference. So we're talking not about her wig, but about her real hair. So now, Tani Levi Kavate de Rav, Tani Levi Kavate de Rav Nachma Yitzchak, Levi had a braita that supported each position. Tani Levi Kavate de Rav, that it was a wig, Aisha Shiotzele Regvam, Ratun Sami Leviti, Notnim. If she's about to be killed and says, I'm bequeathing my hair to my daughter, they give it to her. Meita in Notnim, if she already died, they don't give it to her. Neisha Hamet Asurbanoa. Apshita. What does it really mean? The ornaments of a mate, in this case the wig, are asabana. In other words, the case here is a wig. Okay, to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, but we have a bright support of Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Aisha Shemeta and Misara, Bimashaner Gasura Bahana'a, our Mishnah. Mafresh Ben Zelazeh. So what's the difference between them? Zumi Tata Osarta, Vizug Mardina Osarta, exactly the way Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak explained it. We have successfully concluded our study of the first Perek of Arachin. We will begin with Perek Einan Arachin in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.